8th. It is 2:38 p.m. And we're here to discuss Dish Wireless LLC, a designated eligible carrier application, case number PU-23-84. We're here to discuss this. This is an informal hearing. As we go through the information, if any of the facts become disputed, we will close down this hearing and then schedule a formal hearing. At this time, I'm going to go around the room, and the people in the room will introduce themselves and their title, and then we'll go online and have everybody introduce themselves and their title and who they're with. And when speaking, we're going to ask that you put your camera on, too, so we can see. So we will go around the room right now.
Victor Shook, Director of Public Utilities with the Commission.
Brian Johnson, staff.
Thank you. Now we'll go online. We'll start with the Commissioner.
Hi, everybody. Julie Fedorchak. I am participating remotely. Good to be here. Thank you.
Okay, we'll have the company introduce themselves.
Good afternoon. I'll start. My name is Allison Minia, Vice President of Regulatory Affairs for Dish Wireless. I've turned my camera on, but I'm having to do this from my phone, so I'm probably going to turn my camera off when I'm not speaking to save my elbow. We, of course, thank all of you for your time today to discuss our application. Jane and Sola, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves, please?
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Sola Lee, Senior Corporate Counsel for Dish Wireless.
Hi, my name is Jane Sell, Associate Corporate Counsel for Dish Wireless.
Okay. Richard, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, I can. I'm really having a hard time hearing you guys on that end. Yeah, this is Richard Coit. I'm just here at the request of Carissa Swenson to listen in. I'm a consultant with Consortia Consulting, located out of Lincoln, Nebraska.
Okay. Thank you so much, Richard. We will have the company present their application that they filed to the PSC at this time. Allison, are you the speaker for the company, or who's going to speak on behalf of Dish Wireless on their application?
So, you want to take it away, or you want me to do it?
Sure. I can go ahead and start, and then Allison, if I miss anything, please step in and help me out, I guess.
Of course. Go ahead.
Thank you, Commission, everyone present today at the meeting. So Dish Wireless, under the brand name of Gen Mobile, filed our ETC application with the state of North Dakota on March 6, 2023. And we'd like to provide lifeline services to the low-income and underserved and unserved households in North Dakota. And as we state in our application, we are kind of in a unique position that, you know, Dish Wireless is building out its 5G network. And in the meantime, we are also reselling services with under the AT&T and T-Mobile services. And, you know, Dish Wireless, as our application states, entered into the telecom space with the acquisition of Boost Mobile and eventually acquired the company's name, Gen Mobile, its operations and its subscriber base. And, you know, the Gen Mobile brand now under Dish Wireless has an immense amount of experience in the low-income industry, providing, you know, we've always provided services as low as $10, you know, to make sure that everyone is able to be connected. And the Gen Mobile management team also has a lot of experience in the lifeline industry with many of the lead executives in the brand having experience in lifeline different companies that serve the lifeline customers. And I think, Allison, if you could maybe speak a little bit more to the 5G build out that we're doing and how it could be North Dakota households with life.
Sure. Yeah, I'm glad to do that. So as Sola said, Dish, I mean, many of you probably know Dish as a satellite TV company, and we are that, but you know, Dish Wireless is a division of the overall company that's focused on becoming the fourth nationwide wireless provider behind AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile. And as part of that overall effort, we are constructing a new state-of-the-art 5G mobile wireless network. We have certain milestones imposed by the Federal Communications Commission, including a milestone coming up next week to offer 5G broadband service to 70% of the nationwide population. And then we'll continue, you know, deploying from there. And so, but we also have, as Sola explained, network sharing agreements with both AT&T and T-Mobile to allow us to offer services as an MVNO or as a reseller on those networks at the same time as we are deploying our own facilities-based owned and operated network. So as Sola stated, we have a deep commitment to serving the low-income segment of the population. Gen Mobile is a recognized brand in the space, and that's the reason why we selected Gen Mobile, its brand, its plans, its team, as the division that would ultimately lead our efforts in the lifeline space. And so we're in somewhat of a period of transition at this time because initially Gen Mobile branded lifeline plans will be offered, supported through our network partners, AT&T and T-Mobile. But looking forward into the future, we will have this first of its kind state-of-the-art 5G network that ultimately, you know, when we are able, we'll start putting lifeline customers actually on that network. So it'll become another facilities-based competitive alternative in the lifeline space. Thank you. Sola, anything else we want to present? I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much you guys want. We can obviously get into the details of what our, you know, what types of plans we intend to offer and some of the terms and conditions, but, you know, want to make sure we're using your time efficiently.
What sort of facilities do you have in the state right now, in North Dakota specifically? Do you have any facilities, or are you going to be relying entirely on AT&T and T-Mobile?
So in the near term, like, you know, if we were granted ETC designation today, we would be relying upon network partners. However, this year, next year, we're going to be continuing to expand our network footprint throughout the country. So I'm not able to commit today about what that looks like because there's a lot of IT development that goes into, you know, continuing to add customers to the 5G network. But it is, you know, that is part of our ultimate launch timeline, is to put Lifeline customers and all customers on our network. And the primary reason for that is it is more cost effective for us to achieve the owner economics of putting customers on our own network versus paying AT&T, T-Mobile on a per gigabit basis to serve our customers as a reseller.
So are there other states you've already been designated in that you've done that or you're starting that build out already?
Yes.
Okay. Can you give an example of, you know, from your designation as an ETC for Lifeline in that state, how long until you started putting in your own facilities?
At this time, so we are designated as an ETC in several states. I'll have to, Sola and Jane will have to keep me honest on the list. I know it includes Colorado and New York. We have not yet in any of those states begun to put Lifeline customers on our own facilities. Again, this is a fairly new network, and we're still in the process of building it and optimizing it.
And so, by the way, this is Randy Christman. I'm sorry, I was at another meeting and it was long over with, and I knew this was coming up, and I just didn't realize how much time had flown by. I thought I had another half hour yet before this, and so I got the message. So, but I've been in on much of your discussion here the last few minutes. But that's, I mean, according to the application, unless something has changed, you mentioned New York and Colorado. I see Oklahoma on the list, too.
Yes.
But then where you have pending, it's Alabama, Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, New Hampshire, North Carolina, and District of Columbia. And so I suppose a state like New Hampshire or Oklahoma, where you already are pretty rural compared to New York, but they're not rural compared to North Dakota. I'm just wondering, why us here? How do we fit into this with all the, especially Lifeline ETCs that are available, the partners that you plan on working with to use their facilities are available. What is it about North Dakota that wants why you want the ETC status here and now?
This is a 50 state effort. We aspire to achieve ETC status in all 50 states. And, you know, again, I think that aligns with our ultimate goals to be a nationwide competitor to the three incumbent carriers. And so, you know, we see opportunities in every state. And to some extent, the order in which we went is, you know, to some extent focused on, you know, market research or other considerations. But really, we hope to be in every state and recognize that some states will take longer and the process will take longer than others. But we ultimately, there's no state we don't want to be in. So, Lynn Jane, I don't know if you guys have any North Dakota-specific commentary you want to add to that, though.
I mean, maybe not specific to North Dakota, but I think one note I'd like to mention is that, you know, DISH as kind of a company is to kind of
hey,
go
Sola,
into...
Hey, Sola, you broke up for me. Do you mind starting over? Can you start your sentence over? You broke up a little bit.
Yeah, no
problem. For others. Go ahead and start over. Thanks.
Can you guys hear me okay?
No.
I can now.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. Our office, we have, our internet is a little wonky these days because of some recent construction in the area. So I will restart. I think one thing I'd like to mention is that DISH, as kind of like a company in general, we are very, one of our mission is to make sure the underserved communities, and especially in the rural areas, that they have a choice and the ability to stay connected, whatever means possible. And that's kind of why we want to be in North Dakota. And I'm originally from Alaska, born and raised in Alaska, and oftentimes we in Alaska felt that we would be left out. And for me, as a personal goal, is, you know, the rural areas, the less populated areas, are just as important and deserve the same amount of customer care, service, and options, right? And we want to be a competitive choice for consumers wherever they are, and that includes urban areas or rural areas. They, in our eyes, they are seen as equal customers and should be able to have.
Have any of you looked at broadband maps of North Dakota? I don't know if she was done, it cut off. But...
I think the connection froze. Sola, can you hear us?
It looks like they're froze.
Yeah, I'll send her a text message and let her know in case it's not obvious to her.
It seems like we got the gist of her message, though, Randy. Okay. I think he was almost done, so.
Indeed. There you guys are. Yeah,
I'm guessing you
can hear the last 10 seconds or so. If there was anything else you wanted to add, I know somebody had a question.
Oh, no, I think we can continue.
I'll throw out kind of two questions, I guess. One is, when you say building out your own network, you're talking cell towers, fiber to connect them, all of that stuff? Or do you have a different definition of building out a network than what I just said? And secondly,
it's exactly what you said.
When you talk about the rural underserved areas, have you looked at a broadband map of North Dakota?
Let me take the first question first. First question is, so our network is like our competitors' networks in the sense that we have cell towers, you know, our equipment stacked up there with the other LTE-looking radios, fiber connected to the tower. In that sense, it is a traditional network. One thing that's different about DISH is because we constructed this network greenfield from the ground up with no legacy technology, we actually have an edge on our competitors because we're using a technology called Open RAN, where rather than just Nokia and Ericsson building a closed end-to-end system, we're able to use multiple vendors, including American vendors, for a different vendor for the radio, the distributed unit, the core network, the security. And we also put our network in the cloud, which makes it much more efficient and much more scalable. So we are the same in terms of our deployment, which is actually going out and putting a radio on a tower and connecting fiber to it. But ultimately, our network, we hope, will actually be better than our competitors' networks. So I think that answers question one. And then on question two, I think you were going to talk about kind of, I guess, present. Were you referring to current broadband options in North Dakota based upon the FCC maps?
Yes. I'm just wondering if you've looked at them, because we have quite good coverage in the rural areas.
And is that with respect to mobile, fixed, or both?
I think with everything, really. But,
I would
let you be the judge of what we have, but I'm just wondering if you have looked at any FCC maps or anything to gauge the demand.
You know, I would say this is more of a sales pitch, and I'm a lawyer, and they probably don't want me selling anything to you guys. So I would defer to the folks that kind of run sales for Gen Mobile. But I think what they would say is that, you know, we think that Gen Mobile as a brand, and as an offering has an edge. You know, we strive to create, you know, products and services and package up our services in a way that we think is compelling. And, you know, from our perspective, it's really just additive for customers to have another choice among many. That seems to us to be a good thing. So that would be kind of our general, you know, perspective on adding another provider. Sol and Jane, I don't know if you want to add anything just in terms of, you know, how you see the Gen Mobile plans as adding a potentially better option for some low-income consumers in the state. Are you guys there? Can you hear us?
Yeah. Yes. I think we want to add, you know, just like what Sloan mentioned before, kind of DISH started off as satellite, and the whole point was to connect rural America. And so because we have that kind of
familiarity with the folks who live out in the rural areas. We thought that would give, you know, more opportunities for folks to sign up with our grant for the Lifeline program. And so that's kind of like what we stated in our petition, where the increase of competition between the providers will then turn to better service, better plans, better pricing. And so kind of that's what we were, that was kind of our logic down in applying for the ETC designation in North Dakota.
Yeah, and something I'd like to add is, so before GenMobile was a part of Dish Wireless, I was at the forefront when GenMobile was established as its own prepaid wireless provider, and the founders and the early employees, we always had in mind the underserved, less-served individuals, and the way that we priced our initial plans were always with the thought of, you know, the individuals who were just above the threshold of being qualified for ACP or Lifeline, and then later on there's EBB and ACP. There was still a group of, you know, consumers that, you know, the traditional postpaid prices were just too expensive. It just didn't make sense for them. And, you know, a lot of the times these were the customers that were kind of left in the dust, so to speak. So the GenMobile brand has always kept the lower income customers in mind with creating their plan offerings. And that was what was attractive to Dish Wireless during, and that's why they acquired us, because they understood that we had the background in serving the lower income consumers, and with the experience that we had with Lifeline with some of the other employees under GenMobile, they knew that this would be a good fit. And you know, it's been the GenMobile brand's kind of mission to continue on under the Dish Wireless entity to continue serving the lower income consumer base. So I mean, North Dakota definitely would fit into that mission, because we understand that North Dakota isn't the most populated state, and they're very spread out, but that doesn't mean that we still believe that they should be, to be able to have as many choices in terms of their telecommunication services.
And do either of the other commissioners have any questions at this time?
I'm just curious on the two areas that you've identified, the low income and the underserved. With you not having any what I call boots on the ground, how do you expect to market to them and let them know of the options that are out there, that you're out there?
Yeah, that's a great question. There are two ways that we've kind of identified kind of methods in terms of reaching out to the North Dakotans, and they've been proven to be effective, and obviously we'll always make, we'll continuously adapt our, I guess, marketing plan and strategy to continue to reach out to North Dakotans. But one effort that's been effective is using online market affiliates. And we also would use what we call field agents, who would go out and kind of try to pinpoint certain areas that are that do have heavy foot traffic. And if not, I know in the past we've attended certain community events with field agents to kind of seek out, you know, qualified households for the Lifeline program and an ACP as well.
Thank you.
Commissioner Fedorchak, did you lean in to ask a question?
Sure. I am curious if the company has plans to serve any general customers down the road to and provide standard service, not to the low income or the Lifeline customers?
Yeah, I can answer that. We do. So Dish Wireless has aspirations, as I said, to be, you know, a competitor in both the prepaid and the postpaid space to the nationwide incumbents. And so the Gen Mobile, just speaking of the Gen Mobile brand is also a brand that is, you know, recognized as a good option for low-income consumers outside of the Lifeline program. And then in addition, Dish Wireless anticipates, you know, having other retail brands in addition to, you know, enterprise lines of business. So our 5G wireless network is, we'll serve lots of different market segments as we evolve over time and as we continue construction.
Thanks. I don't have any other questions, Randy.
I'm going to ask, maybe I'm so wrong about this, but when I first read this, and it's left me wondering ever since, and I always forget to try and dig up any information and find out, but on page 10 of the application, it mentions Gen Mobile service plans are currently supported by AT&T and T-Mobile networks. And you've mentioned AT&T and T-Mobile a couple times, but aren't Dish Network and AT&T partners, or one owns the other or something like that? Isn't there a connection between Dish Network and AT&T?
I can take that one. DirecTV and AT&T, so DirecTV being our direct competitor, our primary competitor in the satellite TV space, does indeed have a relationship with T-Mobile. And at a time they were merged, and then DirecTV got spun back out again. But it's an interesting question you've posed, because, you know, one of the things that is interesting about Dish's entry into the wireless space is that two of our would-be competitors, AT&T and T-Mobile, are currently our network partners. And it is kind of an odd relationship, but at least in the case of T-Mobile, our business relationship with T-Mobile is actually a product of the merger between Sprint and T-Mobile. Dish, one of the roles we played was actually as a remedy to that merger, where the government said, look, Sprint and T-Mobile, if they combine, you lose a nationwide competitor. That's not good. However, what if Dish could come in as a fourth competitor and actually provide competition to replace Sprint? And so in the case of T-Mobile, our business relationship is actually a product of a negotiation with the government. In the case of AT&T, it is a market-based negotiated network sharing contract. But over time, Dish has the incentive to rely upon those networks as little as possible, because as we construct our 5G wireless network, we will be able to achieve what we call owner economics, which is we will do better financially if we have customers are on our own facilities versus paying for somebody else's. So as we continue to deploy our network and to increase our footprint, we will, you know, be able to rely less and less on network partners. That is our goal.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
Of course.
Earlier, when there was a question about why North Dakota, and you had made a reference to marketing research and things of that nature, is North Dakota on some sort of list as underserved in the way of Lifeline services? Because we get these kind of applications every so often, and everyone thinks they're breaking into some sort of market that's just about to explode, but it never does. We get each of these companies that has requested this status and started serving resold services to customers, gets a couple hundred customers, and that's about it. And I think, to the point Commissioner Crispin made earlier, it's likely due to the wired or facilities-based broadband and fiber, that network that exists in North Dakota that is amongst the best in the nation.
Sola, do you want to comment on that, please?
Yes.
Sorry, could you repeat your question? Because the sound is coming in really faintly for some reason.
I think everyone just needs to talk closer to the mics. They're too far back. Sherry sounds fine when she talks.
You guys turning me down? Okay. Yeah. So I'm right on top of my microphone, and the commissioners are a little farther away. So I will just speak up.
You sound better.
Okay. So I'm trying to recall exactly what I said because I was a little bit of rambly in the midst. Yeah, so there was reference to one of the reasons North Dakota is one of the first states, not the first state, but among the first states you're applying with. And we've seen this a number of times with other companies who are reselling wireless services for Lifeline purposes. And I'm curious if North Dakota is on some sort of list as being underserved in the Lifeline space. And then I kind of theorized if the reason for that may be because North Dakota has a significant network of broadband and fiber to the home that is amongst the best in the nation.
Well, I think one of the points that we'd like to make is, you know, I think kind of what Allison said earlier is, you know, Dish Wireless would like to become a nationwide provider for Lifeline services. And we would like to be able to present the option of mobile services for their with their Lifeline benefits in North Dakota. And I won't say particularly what, because I'm not necessarily part of the strategy of, you know, which states first and whatnot, but, you know, we do want to be able to serve all those who are in need. And we believe that Dish Wireless has a very strong background and the ability to do so. And we have various options in being able to serve the North Dakotans, you know, with first reselling our partners' networks, as well as, you know, once our facilities are fully built out, you know, are on our own 5G network, which will be will be better for us and also for the North Dakotans.
Okay. And then just to clarify, there's been a couple of references to this. So Dish Wireless wants to be a nationwide 5G carrier, but at this point, your construction of that network has not begun. Is that correct?
No, we have... Oh, sorry, Allison, would you like to...
You take this one. You know the answer, too. Go ahead.
Okay. Sure. No, so we've already begun building our facilities, 5G network. Last year, we had a goal of 20%, and next week, we are, we have an agreement with the FCC to be able to provide our 5G services to at least 70% of the nation's population. So, We are in the middle of our build-out.
70% of the nation?
Using populations, yes.
And that's an eventually or a right now?
Right now.
Yep. Next week, actually.
You will have the... functional ability to serve 70% of the U.S. population with your own facilities next week?
That is correct. And there will be public filings to the FCC to that effect. We have a status report due in mid-July based upon our coverage as of June 14th.
And you haven't started, but I guess maybe I'm confused. I could have swore I heard you have not started construction of your 5G network yet.
No, we started 2 years ago. It's been a long 2 years, but yeah, no, we've been at this for quite a while. You know, staffing up, you know, creating regional offices, and we have, in fact, among other things, one of the goals we have with the FCC is to construct 15,000 of our own towers. So I think we'll actually end up being over that once we do our status report. But we've done a massive effort over the last 2 years during COVID, which was not easy to get our wireless facilities up and running.
Okay, and that was kind of going to be the lead into my next question of radios on towers and those. Buildings where you sell things are important for a business to make money, but as far as serving those customers, radios on towers is how you do it, and it sounds like you are doing that, just not in North Dakota, correct?
Not correct. At least as of the end of the year, we, in terms of our public filings to the FCC as part of the National Broadband Map, we weren't yet reporting coverage, but it is part of our deployment plans.
Sure.
I beg your pardon. Go ahead.
No. Just kind of clarify. So I understand, yeah, that there's requirements before you can officially turn on a radio tower or turn on a radio on a tower. More so just the equipment being in place, I think, is what my question ultimately was, is you are putting radios on towers.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, that's all I have. Procedurally, the company did submit the certification relating to order provisions that is our standard requirement for this type of case. Kind of as another side note, in this particular case, we did receive comments from the Broadband Association of North Dakota. I think everyone was distributed copies of those. I don't have any particular thoughts on those. I can certainly follow up with each of you now or later if you have follow-up questions to those comments.
I don't have specific questions. It's an informal, so we can't get into disputed facts. But at this point, I don't have any questions on it. Do you?
I have no further questions.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
I don't have any more questions either. Thank you.
Okay. I guess for the good of anything else that any of you want to add? Not hearing anything. Are there any objections to the evidence produced becoming part of the official record?
No objection from staff.
That was a question for the applicant as well.
No objections from DISH.
Okay. So the evidence that we have received today will become a part of the record upon which a decision is made. Are there any other matters for the record? I'm not hearing any. This informal hearing is closed. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for everything. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.